Heavenly Father, come by your Spirit and open your word to us. And by your Spirit, come and bring comfort. For we give you our grief as we set our hope in you. So come, Holy Spirit, and do your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're here today for two basic reasons. First, we loved Doug and are hurting. And we've come looking for comfort from Jesus. Now, we knew Doug in many ways. Some of you knew him as father, or brother, uncle, cousin, friend, pastor, co-laborer. The length and depth of our love for Doug will influence the length and depth of our grief. Loving deeply risks grieving deeply. Now, I knew Doug as a colleague and mentor when I was newly ordained and completely and utterly out of my depth in parish ministry, a reality that has continued for 30-something years. I knew Doug as a spiritual director when I was trying to get a grip on how to live faithfully and prayerfully and how to be open to what the Holy Spirit was wanting to do in me and through me. He left an indelible impression on me and on my ministry. I also knew Doug as a repository of experience and history. Was there any significant event in the life of the church in the second half of the 20th century that Doug missed being part of? I'm not sure. Now, in all of this, I knew Doug as a man filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who loved Jesus wholeheartedly and loved Jesus' people passionately. Now, I found Doug to be a fascinating mix of opposites, pretty much like all of us, actually. He was full of joy, but could get exasperated. He was particular about many things, liturgy comes to mind, but open to whatever the Holy Spirit was wanting to do. He was humble and open to learning, but also quite confident in his positions. Yesterday at a meeting in Pittsburgh with my staff, a newly ordained deacon recounted her story of having Doug ask her not too long ago whether she was ordained yet. And she assured him that ordination was not anything that she was considering or wanted or was on the table. He said, "Well, maybe I'm just being prophetic." About a year later, she was ordained. She said yesterday, "I imagine Doug in heaven being a little smug about that." To which I responded, and so many other things. But one of the unmixed things about Doug was his love for Jesus and his conviction to preach the gospel. And I imagine him saying, in that same stage whisper that often punctuated him in worship, if you were preaching, you could hear him behind you. I'd imagine him saying, "Okay, enough about me. Skip the eulogy. Eulogies have no place in a funeral service. Get to the point." And the point of every burial liturgy is the good news of Jesus. That's why every funeral is an Easter celebration, even in the middle of Lent. So here's the good news that Doug fully embraced, consistently lived, and powerfully proclaimed. As a parish priest at St. James, St. Mary's, Ascension, and All Saints, and as a professor at Trinity School for Ministry and Neshota House Seminary, Doug was committed to praying morning and evening prayer. At the end of these prayers, we usually pray the general thanksgiving. And at the heart of this prayer are these words: "We thank you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, the means of grace and the hope of glory." It's this hope of glory in which Doug lived. It's this hope of glory that's at the heart of the gospel. So what is our hope of glory? From the prayers in the liturgy, from the readings of this service, we see that the hope of glory is our life-orienting confidence that because of the cross, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, death is vanquished, we will see God, and we are being transformed. So let me unpack each of those. The cross of Jesus vanquished death. At the heart of the gospel is this assertion that the cross has vanquished death. Therefore, death is not the final word. And Paul is so confident in this that he can mock death in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then he says, "O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of the cross of Christ, death is vanquished. As Martin Luther King Jr. put it in his eulogy for the martyred children who died in the Birmingham bombing in September of 1963, he says, "I hope you find consolation from Christianity's affirmation that death is not the end. Death is not a period that ends the great sentence of life, but a comma that punctuates it to more lofty significance. Death is not a blind alley that leads the human race into a state of nothingness, but an open door which leads man into life eternal. Let this daring faith, this great invincible surmise, be your sustaining power through these trying days." Doug believed wholeheartedly that the story of Jesus' resurrection was simply true. It was good news because it was news, a statement of fact, pure and simple. And the fact of Jesus' resurrection meant that everything was different. Death no longer had the victory. Death no longer had the final word. So the cross of Jesus vanquishes death. Now the fact that death has lost its power, however, is only part of the good news. The resurrection of Jesus promises that we will see God. As Job puts it, "In my flesh I shall see God." Jesus told us he was going away to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Paul tells us that through Jesus we have access to the presence of God. And in our Father's house, in the presence of God, we know that there's a party going on. The marriage feast. The most common image of heaven is a party. It runs all the way through the parables. Forget this idea of little half-naked cherubs sitting on clouds with golden harps. It's a party. filled with joy and singing and celebration. And Isaiah tells us, filled with fine wines and aged meats and everything that you could possibly desire. A place of joy and wonder. The promise of the resurrection is this unbridled joy in the presence of God. God, the chief partier. The resurrection of Jesus promises that we will see God. But this heavenly joy means that we can't be standing before God for eternity as we are, in our sin and weakness and our perishability. When we encounter God in all of His glory, our first response is to fall on our face and repent. That's not going to be heaven, because we're being transformed. The ascension of Jesus assures us that we are being changed now, and we will be completely changed when Jesus returns. The good news tells us that the ascension of Jesus starts this process of complete and utter transformation as He pours out His Spirit upon us, and the Spirit begins to do His work of transforming us into the image of Jesus. Paul uses the image of a seed being sown. You don't get what you sow. When you sow wheat, you don't get little tiny grains of wheat that pop up. You get stalks. 30, 60, 100-fold. You get more than you planted. When you plant an acorn, you don't get another acorn. You get an oak tree filled with acorns. What is sown perishable rises imperishable. What is sown in weakness rises in glory. We are being transformed. Jesus uses the image of a shepherd. I love this picture of the shepherd. The job of the shepherd is to make sure the sheep are fed. The way the shepherd makes sure the sheep are fed is he takes the sheep to pastures. The sheep eat. Now, here's what sheep do. Sheep eat the grass all the way to the dirt. If the shepherd allows the sheep to graze too long in a pasture, the sheep kill the grass. And so the shepherd lets them graze in a pasture for a while and then says to the sheep, "Follow me, I'm taking you to better pasture." And what do the sheep do? "I'm good, thanks." That would mean change. That would mean leaving what's familiar. That means walking through the valley of the shadow of death. "I'm good. I'll just eat the dirt." But the shepherd says, "No. I call you out of this paltry pasture that you've eaten to the dirt, and I'm taking you, as scary as it is for you sheep, because you're not smart enough to see all that's going on, I'm taking you from where you are to this other place, this place of wonder and beauty." An image that Sherry uses is the image of birth. At birth, the baby moves from the constraints of the mother's womb. What started out as this wonderful playground at 5 weeks and 6 weeks and 8 weeks and 10 weeks, with plenty of room to do jumping jacks and somersaults, by 9 months is a straitjacket. And every now and again, you see the baby going, "Yeah, I'm not sure I want to stay in here." And you see the handprint on the mom's stomach. You're like, "Whoa, that's creepy." Because the baby's saying, "This is too small." And then comes the moment where the baby dies to what was and is born into something huge and unimaginable. That's the journey that Doug has just taken. We're being changed. It's great to know that this transformation is happening now. Listen to the words that Doug heard just before he went to be with Jesus. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. The cross of Jesus vanquishes death. The resurrection of Jesus promises that we will see God. The ascension of Jesus puts into motion the process of transformation in our lives. And so as we've come to honor and remember Doug, we've come also to express our grief in prayer. We've come to seek comfort. And the comfort the church gives is the good news of Jesus, is the story of Jesus' death, His resurrection, and His ascension. The good news, the message that death is vanquished, the promise that we will see God, and the assurance that we are being transformed. That's the gospel that Doug loved and proclaimed and lived. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the life of your servant, Doug. Thank you for the myriad of ways that he touched our lives. But even more than that, thank you for the good news. Thank you that we with him are wrapped up in your love and that we can live in the hope of glory. And so we give you our grief and we receive your comfort. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.